Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. It's Deanne. I'm Deanne's Early Show. I'm here live and talking to you on the Detectors Radio Broadcast Network. Tonight, or today, or this morning, I had gotten some correspondence from someone, and I listened to this correspondence. It was a YouTube video, two, three, four, or more. And didn't know the name of this, but I pretty much knew something like this was getting ready to happen. And I'm going to tell you, I look at timelines, I look at events, I look at how things are to work. That's why I said long, long time ago, here and beyond, you have to look at the past to understand where you are standing right here in the present. And to move forward in the future, you need to know the past, present, in order to accomplish whatever you need to do in the future. Being blind to previous events is only going to hold you back because you don't see what's creeping up behind you. That's the best way I can formulate it. Creeping up behind you. You could be sitting there and you'll just ignore. I'm not going to look at nothing. I'm just going to move forward. I'm going to do what I got to do right now. And everything else in the past doesn't mean anything. Well, say that you're doing that. And all of the things that you would not believe is going to happen happened because you didn't know or understand the past and understand how it affects you today in this future. I talk to African Americans, and this show is primarily to open the mind and the head, and I hope it's going to be pretty blunt, more or less, of black people. Black people, you need to wake the hell up. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that this thing is just right here in your face, and if you don't know anything about it, then that's what I'm talking about. Don't know the past, don't know the present, don't know the future, because you don't know the past or what is currently creeping up behind you. We can be all involved with our little shows. We can look at the Kardashians and worry about that, or look at the Empire and say, oh, wow, you know, look at this. I want to be in the music industry. I'm going to be all glorified. I'm going to have all this money. And I'm going to drape myself out in all these expensive clothes. Da, 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 da. Hey, truth is what I'm going to tell you. Wake the hell up. Number one, there's something called King Arthur plan, project, whatever you want to call it. Da, 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 da. Look it up. Go online, go on YouTube. There's a very good YouTube video by Dr. Hagin, H-A-G-I-N. Very good video for us to understand. There's another one that goes even further back because this thing is an old agenda. And these old agendas had other names too because I was looking at it under different names. But this thing has been here and it's gotten to a new level of what they're planning. Goes all the way back. All the way back. Now I'm going to tell you the white scenario of it, black scenario of it, so you get a drift of what's going on instead of being blank, 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 and clueless. And black folk, listen up, please. Where did I begin? I remember when the Occupy movement came about. Occupy had no leadership. They just were a bunch of people that everybody just was doing their own thing, and nobody had no actual name or any leader, and everybody was just going out and protesting. I watched them. Media said, oh, Occupy this, Occupy that, and there were a lot of people involved. But it wasn't as large a group as you thought in these areas where they protested. At one time, there was a huge impact, and then started easing down. Now, the original impact was the March on Wall Street because of fraud that had happened with the mortgage crisis and everything else. Then it became with other issues that had confronted. And white people know what's going on. They're trying to tell you something, and you are holding a blank eye to everything. Because, you know, one of the things I have a problem with is you know, a lot of us, we know it all. Oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, well, I know it all. You ain't got nothing to tell me, nothing different. I know. Do you really know? Do you really, really know? This thing can cause a situation where all of us will be in internment camps. This is as bad as Nazi Germany. And the thing is, I'm seeing the plan being worked out because I'm listening to laws and proclamations, declarations, and things that this White House is pushing an agenda to. And I'm looking at also what we have in character running for office of President of the United States. Not offering up anything to African Americans on either side. And I don't care how many people out there say, well, Hillary what? Bill, what did he do? What did any of these candidates do? All the way back since Kennedy. Wake the hell up. Now to explain something, I sat there and watched several levels of civil rights activism, presidents move in and out of the White House, assassination of John Kennedy. I saw that as a little girl. My dad was involved with a couple of White Houses going on back to Roosevelt and before. And the thing is, I'm looking at people, and it's just dumbfounding that I have black people telling me that, hey, basically to shut the heck up. Because, again, I have been disrespected as a black woman because black men and these people out here, the way that you're teaching your kids, they don't have no respect for women, period. I hear things about, oh, well, you're an elder in the community. If you are, then how come the kids are not speaking to adult women in respect they should hold in a position that they have? And even the ones that supposedly at the top of the game that are supposed to be at a respectable level in my age bracket and beyond are not respectable to other people that are in the same age bracket that know something. Because they say they know more than somebody that's been experiencing different things. It's different than marching in the street of being with civil rights activists and individuals doing stuff at a different level. But then these folks don't want to listen because they have been tuned in to their own agenda. And the agenda stinks. It's not doing anything. Well, let me get to my point. Let me go to a little level of what the King Arthur Project is so you get a crux of what happened. The King Arthur Project is something that's been going on for a long time under various other names going way, way back. The agenda is basically a euthanasia, eugenics, genocide of the black community, period. We are not needed anymore. You understand? I've been saying that for a long time. We are not needed because what they claim is our actions. Our actions are deplorable, they're looking at. These people at a level above. I told you, my dad had these cards. I'm talking about way back. He wrote these things from the 1940s. It's about the levels above. The levels below. What are the levels below? The levels above are looking at, well, okay, well, I want to go to the spa, or I want to travel to Acapulco and gamble. Oh my God, you see those eyesores? Oh my God. Oh. And that means black and white, they ain't got where they are. And our people that are not at the level that they can look at on their level as being something beyond the scope of having money. There's a level of money, and then there's a money, a nasty level of money, and there's a beyond statute that doesn't give a crap about money. They control land bases, communities, everything. They just are. They get whatever they want. The haves, the beyond the haves, not middle class, not first class, not millionaires, not billionaires. There's people way up beyond that scope at a different plateau level. To reach that is almost unattainable because when you try to reach out to that level, then every time, you know this, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that's been a black entertainer, okay, from going back to day one, okay, I mean way, way back, let's go 1800s or whatever, all the black entertainers and people out there you looked at as kids that grew up and you say, oh, I don't like them, they're Uncle Tom. Well, a lot of them ended up with some money. They had money invested in things in the community, and they had real money. But we have sports players today that have money. Ones that back in the day had no money. But the sports players today have money, but they don't invest it in our community as much as they should. They invest in the wrong things because they have investors and individuals telling them what to do. Now, as far as them knowing or caring or anything, they're concerned is making the money. It's bling, looking bling, bling, bling. The actresses and ex-movie stars, bling, bling, bling. But the actors and movie stars are not making a huge amount of money either because they don't get as many roles as you would think. And the ones that aren't getting the roles, they're pretty much contained. And if any of them step out of the box and do the wrong thing, guess what? They are pulled up out of the ranks. They won't get any roles or movies, and then their money starts dissipating because they still have to pay their agents. They have to pay people that put their style and clothing together. They have to buy the top-line clothes, you know, the cars. They got to keep that going, the mansions and things like that. And guess what, folks? Many of them are in foreclosure. They don't have money to keep up their housing expenses after all their expenses are gone because they owe debt from way back. Even people in the music industry, they borrow money on the royalties that they get in advance. In advance. I'm dealing with that right now with my dad's music. Advance payments. And then they tell you, oh, nothing's coming in. But damn hell, I see all this music and stuff being sold with my dad's name on it all over the goddamn place currently, overseas and here. And do you think I get any royalties? I had to fight and call and call and fight and track down catalogs and stuff. My dad wrote Milton Hinton, Cab Calloway, Lionel Hampton music in the beginning, performed with everybody on the damn planet then. And the thing is that he has huge amounts of royalties due. And you know what? I had to fight to find it and fight folks. And then when I find them, they go change and move the catalog somewhere else. You go experience it. You think you're going to make a lot of money? Boom, you know what? It's nonsense. Then the other thing is, as I told you before, you make money today on the tours. You go tour around, and then, you know, while you're on the tour, you make money. It's just enough to keep up with the bills you owe from pulling out your royalties in advance that you owe on your record label, or you had to pay your agents, or your managers, or your lawyers, and all these other kind of folks that follow on. So people don't have any money. You remember that guy, don't touch this. You remember he went bankrupt? Wonder why? He had entourage. All of entourages he had to pay. Every one of them were taking all this money from him and he ended up bankrupt. Same thing with Wesley Snipes. He just depended on his accountant. What the hell the accountant did? Who knows? He ended up where he ended up. He had no money. Sammy Davis Jr. worked his ass off since he was like 3 years old dancing, jumping up and down, performing, acting, fastest gun in Hollywood. Everything you could think of, he was in. Drummer, singer, piano player, everything. He was a complete talent that nobody could touch. And what did he end up with on his deathbed? Nothing. His kids, they couldn't even get a picture of their dad. And the people moved their stuff out of the house, selling it at auction because Sammy Davis Jr. was broke, penniless, worked his ass off. Red Fox, same thing, died of a heart attack. He worked his ass off street, in the theater, in nightclub, every place you could think of, worked his ass off. And guess what, how much money he had? Zero. Okay, let me go on and on and on to the black entertainers that died with absolutely nothing. Then later on, they started just whacking, killing them like, man, you know, okay, Whitney Houston, okay, you go back out and perform, you know, but she's all messed up with drugs, her voice don't sound the same, so let's say, that's not going to make enough money for us people. Let's see what we can do. Oh, we can make more money off her record she already has, and she's dead. Then next thing, she's dead, Dora's dead. Dora is the one that's going to be heir to her money, right? She dies, you know, she's lined up at the same time. Suspicious. Then you have Tupac. Then you have Biggie Small. See what happened to them. Bam, both of them were friends, even though they had this little war. It sounded real good, but they were actually friends. They get wiped out, whacked out, because you know what? They decided to handle their own label. And going back to the gentleman that was don't touch it. He started selling his own record. Then what happened to him? Bam, no money, bankrupt. Every freaking black entertainer, their damn income and money, all of them. And the ones that are sitting there thinking that they have glory holes, hey, they're going to come for you too. Because if this agenda comes about, what the hell are you going to be? And where are you going to be? The spook in the middle? I'm telling you what's happening here, and if this doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will. Because, again, I'm getting sick of black people coming up to me and saying, you don't know nothing. You ain't been in the hood. What you know? You don't know no more than me. I don't want to listen to you. You know who the hell you are. You ain't shit to me. That's how I've been talked to by individuals that are out there. There's a group out here, a religious group. I saw on Michigan Avenue. I have on video. I just went by them and they talked about what they knew about religion, and they were like, oh. And I said a couple things to it, and the young men there standing on Michigan Avenue started to talk about me like a dog. Now, the older ones were standing next to it, and they didn't say one word because they allowed these young men to disrespect a woman, a black woman, and it was okay with them. They're disrespectful and rude, and they don't want to hear anything because they've been fed misinformation. And misinformation will get you dead today. I don't know what else to say. I shouldn't even be on the air saying this because this is very dangerous to even talk about. Because, see, the thing is that it's not a conspiracy. It's been here with us from day one. Genocide. They don't want blacks and whites to get together. Back in the day, I mentioned this to some friends of mine that are white. I told them, okay, this situation with the communists, the nonsense they came up with, what happened? Harlem. You had Tallulah Bankhead, who people today don't know who she is, but she was a well-known entertainer or whatever. She played a couple movies, but the thing was, she was known. She was a Southern Belle millionaire. And then you had other ones that were out there during that time that were very prominent in movies and things. They were hanging down in Harlem. They were hanging out with black people back there in the 40s and 50s. They were enjoying the jazz, the culture, the Renaissance period. They were hanging with people like Langston Hughes, Cab Calloway. Everybody was performing. Everybody was together there. It was a coolness that those that do not want that to happen, they have these hidden agendas because they hate everything and everybody, and they don't even know why they hate people because, see, they're putting on another hidden agenda because, see, the bullshit that they were raised up and told was just that. Bunch of crap. When you got a bunch of people that came out of Europe that back in the medieval times had no names, they just had like blacksmith, come over here and fix my shoe on my horse. Or Lord Byron's serf, come here. They had no names. There were people that had no freaking name other than first name, and they adopted the name of whoever it was that owned the land they lived on. These are white people. Black people, when they came over here, they didn't even know what their names are. You know, you got the movie Roots with Kunta Kinte. That family knew. Rest of us, hey, do we know what those other names are today? Do we really? And the few that do, you know, where is that going to get you? What's going on over in Africa? Who's got shit over there? You know, because over there saying, well, you know, I'm a Nubian queen. How the hell are you going to be a Nubian queen when there was no Nubian queens over there? Because the black man, a lot of times in some of those African countries, don't respect the black woman either. How are you Nubian what? What does that mean? What? I don't understand that. I fell for the nonsense for a minute. I married one of them, and you know what? The Nubian queen thing went right out the window. Stop the bullshit. Now, the thing is with this plan that's getting ready to happen, it's going to affect all of them. And I see the earmark because I see the timelines. I see what's happening out here. I've been on the street. I've been watching. I've been filming things to let you know what's really going on. I see black and white getting along. I see black and white mixed couples out on the street walking hand in hand. Cool. I see mixed kids. I see individuals out there that are mixed that are with interracial relationships. I see black couples and black couples walking down holding hands in hands, and then everybody going to festivals and having a good time. And then along comes the media. All of a sudden, oh, 15 million people died on the weekend. Oh my God, Chicago. Oh, here's another one. 15,000 murders. Now, truth. Chicago has what kind of population? According to statistics, we are either ranked at third, used to be the second largest city in the world. Now we might be number two or number three. I'm not sure where we are. But that means we have millions of people here in Chicago. Just like in New York, they got millions of people in New York. Not thousands. There's a lot of people between New York and Chicago, okay? You got a lot of Latinos. You have a lot of blacks in these cities, major cities. Latino issue is a whole other issue, which I cover in another show. But I'm just telling you that what is going on. In the Chicagoland area, because of the large amount of people in here, when they talk to you about 19 people being murdered over the weekend in the black community, they did not give you the overall picture of all the murders that have happened in the city. There are people out here that are white that are missing down off of Michigan Avenue. Shh, don't tell nobody. There are individuals that are in the North Side getting shot and killed. There are people that in the Latin community are getting shot on the street with gang activity. That means that there is more than 19 murders on a weekend. That means that the murder rate might be 100 or 200. But if you look at the large size of the population, that is the average of not more than maybe what you consider like hearing a story about one person killed out of 3,000. Now, that might be a large number to you, but then if you got like millions of people, when they talk about 19 individuals, not a huge number, but why are they just focusing on the black crime rate and not talking about the Latino crime rate or the white rate of people that are getting murdered and killed in their homes and stabbed and shot, put in shoe boxes and storage bins and, you know, serial killed or whatever. They're not in the number. They're counting and touting in the media. It's only the count of African-Americans being murdered. They're doing it on purpose. Now, I remember all the way from back in the day, all the way up through the 60s and 70s and whatever, and then my dad talking about what he was writing in reports because, see, we had black media, real black media, that had reporters that reported stories in the community. That doesn't exist like that anymore. It's very seldom that you have anybody hitting the tail of the stories that are in the community because everybody's going off the wire. So they're no different than listening to or going directly to the United Press or going on and looking at the regular mainstream media. They get their news from the same source. So it isn't anybody telling you what is actually going on the street back like they did in the day. We had real reporters. You know, like back in the day when you saw the people with the fedora hat with the pencil in it and a piece of paper hanging out of the hat and they're rushing down the street and stuff, white and black. That was when they had reporters. Today it's not like that. You can't even get people out of the street to do anything like that. Everything is done off the wire. And they call and they don't investigate, not like that. They just do this other kind of report, which is really different. get to that on another show. So now, you got a report that 19 people were killed on the south side of Chicago. Okay, what happened to the ones on the north side, south, west side, east side, all these other sides of Illinois other than this one concentrated area in Chicago? Now, that's controlled news. Controlled news means that it makes it look worse than it is. It is bad, yes, that people are getting murdered. But again, if you hear the overall picture, it's all inclusive of all the people all over the area of Chicago. The number would be much greater. Now, the same game was played when they were having that issue with the border, Latinos coming over the border. They were stating that there were so many Mexicans coming in, and they were coming in, and they were killing people, and they were bringing tigers over, and it was battles on the thing, And you know what? Part of that was true. That was true because people were trying to escape out of Mexico because they had no work. They have no industry or anything. So they were coming over here to work, and that's why they were coming over here to get food and money for their families. Do you blame them? And who was here first to tell you the truth? Who was over here first? Now, you folks can sit up there and say you were here first, and that's a goddamn lie. American Indians were here, the Aztecs, the Mayans, all these other kind of Indian tribes, the Ottawa, Cherokee, all these tribes were here before anybody set foot over here in the United States. And a lot of these Mexicans are Latinos and are people that are bred in between Spanish that came over to conquer and other people, and they're mixed up. So the thing is that they were here first. I don't want to hear it. Then the Caucasians came over, and then, you know, behind them, they brought the African Americans over in order for them to, because they had indentured white slaves, they were running away, and they couldn't catch them because they would blend in, so they brought us over here to work. And they, and so the thing is, it's a game being played. It's just like, look at Spartacus or something like that. Remember back in the day when you looked at Spartacus, you didn't see nobody say, oh, well, let's separate those Spartans over there because those are white ones and these are black. All of them were Spartans. They were Spartans. There was no situation. It wasn't from the region you came from. There wasn't nobody talking about, well, that's a Negro over there. They didn't use language like that. In fact, Europe hardly uses language like that. If they do, it comes from this stupid place here. So now the thing is, what's going on? I'm giving you some of the world history. Don't try to look and try to be something you're not, because you ain't. You're from here. You're African American. You came originally, your generations came from Africa, and you're American. And deal with it. You have to deal with where you are. You are American. So now these people are taking your tax dollar, they're taking your money that you work hard for, and they're putting plans together with your money to use policing agencies to come in and annihilate you. And then behind it, guess what? They're bringing in martial law because now they're in the media saying, oh, my God. Oh, jeez. 20 black people got killed last week. Please. Back during the time of slavery, did they mention how many black people got killed and murdered and tarred and feathered, put in streets and quartered and stuff like that? During the time of Dr. King, did they give you the exact number of black people that would be hauled off and murdered and killed down south and freedom riders that were killed and stuff? Hey, you know what? Those numbers were much greater than what we're talking about right now. And also, whites were getting murdered because those white people said, hey, you ain't doing that. Because we know what's going on. We're backing them. We're trying to show you something. So the thing is that it's not a situation that we can say, well, we don't need these people over here or anything. We're all in the mix together because we are all the lower level of society, and they don't need us like that anymore. We are a waste of time to these people at the top. Not the middle class, not the millionaires, not the billionaires, but the other ones you don't see. And the billionaires are falling into line with it, too, because they're taking stomping orders from whoever they're dictated to. I watch what's going on,
And the thing is, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, the problem is that I'm looking at, you know, things like, for instance, you got women out here that are have children. They have children, and they have children, and they have children. A lot of white people are upset about that. I talk to white people, they say, too. Why is that going on? What's going on with that? You know, they got this kid, they ain't no child support. I got paid for that. I'm working hard. How come, you know, what's going on? Now, they don't realize that these black folks we talk about over here can't get a job because they don't have enough education. And even they do have education, they're not qualified, and they don't get those jobs like you think that easily. So then what they do is, what do? You're sitting at home. You don't know if your lights are going to go off. You don't know if you're going to have a telephone on. You don't know what you got. You've got the TV there, you know, you look at the TV. All you're seeing on there is, you know, somebody bumping their, you know what, up and down, or singing these songs about, yeah, yeah, I got that woman and da, da, da. You hear that every single day coming out of black people's mouths singing songs. I can't understand why we don't have no songs that can be construed positive with the top label names out there. Everything you hear is got to have sex in it. Now, are they doing it on their own? Hell no. That Hollywood and everybody's looking at what's going to make them the bang for the buck. So the more you get down on the booty control, a booty call type of thing, you're sitting there and say, you know, bouncing, you know what, wearing clothes where you see everything. You know, dancing around like you just came right out of the freaking forest and jungle. Hey, I don't give a shit what people say. They might come back and say, I'm being racist. Hey, I was calling spade a spade. I don't care because, see, I already went through all of this stuff, seen it. Family's been through it, seen this, seen it going back generations back in the day. And the thing is, I am appalled to what we're doing on the basis of what people tell you how you're going to make some money. And you still ain't got no money, because if they pull the reins on you, you know what? You ain't got no name out there. If you're not in the media's face, in people's face, every single day on the media, you're going to be forgotten in a minute. I was off the air for a while. People say, oh, you know, whatever. Let me go over here and change channel. Listen to this one. What's her name? I don't know. And, you know, if you stop doing what you're doing, with having your face in the media, then what will happen is your mark or your brand or whatever you are is diminished in minutes. You have to keep something going on. So what do? You see these young women out there, they're keeping stuff going on. So you hear, oh, okay, Shanae, oh, she's so wonderful. Oh, my God, she's thinking. But her and her husband getting divorced because her husband going with Cha-Cha down the street. And, did you see they got in a hair-pulling fight? Oh, girl. And you're sitting there watching the drama. Okay, so then you look at that and say, wow, I wish they had me some drama like that. Let me go out there and copy it. You even think about your copying it, but you are, because you start looking at that as what it is to be in a rich black person. You got to be rich and be bogus and be going with everybody else, having sex, running all up and down the street, doing you know who, what, where, and what. And then that keeps you in the media. That keeps you being seen. Somebody say, oh, look at her. She did that. Oh, what is she playing? Let me go get them, you know, those beats. Let me hear what she plays. Let me go play. Oh, yeah, I like that music. And then you hear this bumpity, bumpity, bump music. The whole thing is a scheme and a plan against you. Now, you might think, you know, oh, she's just being funny. I ain't being funny. I'm serious. I have a letter. A long time ago, my dad got a letter. Still have it to this day. The White magazine, which my dad wrote for under assumed name, contacted him and said that they wanted the black magazines, which my dad wrote for and managed and edited and did stuff. They wanted all the black people to start looking like the whites that were in the white magazine. So they contacted him, and they were basically saying, okay, you got to do uniform. So what they did was they started having more fashion towards
the white community, and they started having more makeup products and more things to make African Americans look more like white people. And this was around the late 50s and 60s when this stuff was going on. It was already plotted through the media. They plot the course of what it is that society's going to be. So they might have a theme, like from, it used to be France used to set the theme of clothing. So they bring a clothing line in, it came through New York, and then when it came from New York, it bounced into Chicago, and if you had this look, you would, you know, this was the look that you would have, and everybody was dressed like that. I'm talking about 60s and 70s and 80s. Nobody was seen without wearing certain types of fashion and clothes. Today it's gym shoes. Today it's, you know, sportswear. It's more or less not the same continent of what it was back in the day because everybody was into this thing of dressing for styling, for business, for pleasure, and the style was a certain style. Today it's different. Because but the industry is controlling you. Clothing industry, the music industry, all these things. They control you by what you see and then get you to the level where you go out and take your hard-earned money and run to a store and say, I got to look just like this one. I got to look like that. I got to be blinged out. Now, bling is out. They've got another word for it, but just using it as an example. But you get the drift. You're controlled. Totally mind control. The music, when the Gulf War began, and then after that, when we went to the second level of this nonsense of global corporate war for oil, I started looking and listening to music. I started hearing this stuff. It was Middle Eastern. I started turning off stuff real quick. I wasn't listening to anything. You know why? Because, see, the frequency and tone is tied to religion. There's something called Vedic and harmony. Vedic and harmony can cause you to go into a trance. It can cause you to think certain thoughts. Certain rhythms and vibrations can get you to be very sexual in nature. And this is all within the music that you're hearing. Your young kids are hearing. So now you have a situation of people sitting there saying, okay, well, you know, yeah, let the little kids hear this. You know, let the kids, you know, dress like this. So now, they got little kids out here, and that's why they call them shorty. You know, why would you call a kid shorty unless the kid is like you but short? Hey, shorty, come here, shorty. Shorty means to me a kid that's an adult, that's 5, 6, 10, 11, 12 years old. So the kid is looking at you and talking to you like, yo, mom, yeah, yo, whatever. You know, the kid is talking to you in a disrespect because they now think they're shorty. They're thinking that they're you. Instead of you saying to them, you know, Tommy, come here, Susie, come here, this is mom. And they said, yes, mom, what do you want? No, the word is, what do you want? Referral of mother and father is a whole nother animal today with the youth across the board. We have allowed this. We have allowed total mind control of our youth. Our youth is walking around out here, and it's sad to say, to see 13, 14, 15-year-olds impregnated. Now, moving on to that, the impregnation of these girls that are young is getting to the level of abortion rate is going out of proportion in the black community. Now, these kids that are being aborted, by the way, they're using the fetal material for lab work, for stem cell research, for using of body parts, whatever else they're doing. They're doing that with aborted fetus that these children, women and children are having. Now, the thing is anybody being told that? No, it's a genocide project. It's kind of like, you know, it was Unit 134 in Japan, and then you had Auschwitz and all this stuff. It's a scientific experiment because now they got bodies to work with, fresh bodies, little babies that have been aborted. Now you're sitting there and don't think of the moral aspect of what's going on. And this goes to black men, women, and anybody else out there of any race, creed, and nationality as well in this go on. Sex is one thing. sex actually was supposed to be for reproduction of mankind, but it got to the point where it is right now. It is what it is. Okay? So you got men out there that have, I would say, no knowledge, no training or respect for women. Knowledge is that if you are a man and you know that you're dealing with a young girl that doesn't know anything, why are you forcing sex on somebody that is knowledgeable to what can occur? And you might not know what might occur either, because if you have sex, guess what? You might end up with a child. And then in addition to that, you might end up with an STD. Now, again, STD can be spread. Now, how many of these people have sex with multiple partners? And this is where the crisis of AIDS and all these diseases are coming from, because people have a lackadaisical approach to having sex. Instead of having one relationship, one partner, you go out and say, okay, well, you know, my boys over here, they got this one, and, you know, they bounced over here, and they go over here and get, you know, I'm getting with this one over here, and then all of them end up pregnant. So unless you're a rooster in a hen house, hey, cool, and somebody's taking your eggs, which they are, and they're taking it and dividing up the eggs and using it for stem cell research. If you're cool with that, hey, if you want to be Mr. Rooster, hey. But if you want to have some morals, hey, if you're going to be with somebody, understand the responsibility of being with somebody. Being a man is a whole different animal to what they're telling you about. A man is somebody that is responsible, that's out there, that's able to do things, to take responsibility for his action and those that he decides to have in his life, i.e. these young women. Now, do you think it's fair for you to be 18 years old and see a 13-year-old and then impregnate her, knowing that the relationship's going to be only temporary for a minute? You're just bouncing around because everybody else you're hanging around is bouncing around, and then you leave this young girl that doesn't have no knowledge of what's going on, and she's got to come home and tell somebody in their household that she's pregnant. And then and when she gets home, she don't know what she's going to run into. So then what she does is run away, or A just, you know, bites the bullet. And then she has a baby, and she's walking around with a carriage, and people walking around looking at her and saying, oh, they don't even know what to say. They're looking at, oh, is that your brother? Oh, that's your son. Most of these girls out here are not too much older than the baby they have. But you men are okay with it. You don't have the financial responsibility to take care of any of these kids. So why are you doing that? Nobody's wearing protection. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's just going out there doing random stuff. And that's because it's all tooled in. You're watching it. They're telling you to do it every single day. You know, hey, you know, this is what it is. Everybody's accepting. This is a sexual role for the rooster. And that's why I call you rooster. Rooster moves around. You know, whoever he hits, hey, he hits. Then he moves around to the next one. So you want to be known as a bird, a rooster that gets eaten at one point in life. Hey, go ahead. I think it's stupid. And then you don't understand the lineage of what's going on. Black slaves were so upset that they didn't know where their family happened to go to. They had children, and they were responsible. They wanted to know where the kids were. And those kids were tossed from someplace else, another plantation. Didn't have the right to see the kids. But today, it's okay to breed up a whole lot of kids and just know that they don't have nobody to back them. They have no one to educate them or work with them at school with their homework. They come home to a mom. The mother doesn't know what to do because she's trying to figure out how to get food stamps. She's not even old enough to figure out all this stuff. You know, she has to go through all types of levels of paperwork just to get the food stamps. Can't qualify for a job because she's too young. And then if she's older, she doesn't have enough education to get a job. And now she's saddled with 2-3 kids, maybe by the same guy, maybe by different dads. And the thing is, all the dads are out there making other kids for other people.
because they have no responsibility and no respect. And then to make it even worse, you don't even respect yourself.
Kind of like the song, if you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody gonna give a hoot. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Because you're not respectful for yourself, so you're putting your disrespect onto a woman. And then you don't look at your mother, and you're disrespecting your mother doing the same garbage. And it goes on. Then these people, and after they have their kids, right, they sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, grandma will take care of the baby.
Oh, my grandma used to take care of all my children.
No. If you lay down and create children, you're responsible. But then how are you going to be responsible in this society that you have to have a job and you're not educated enough to get a job? And during this time that you could have been getting an education and putting yourself into a situation where you could have bettered yourself to do what you needed to do, you're out there pulling the nonsense, bullshit. And I hate to use these words, but I'm going to have to use what I got to do to try to wake up some people. And you know what? A lot of people will be turned off and say, oh, I'm not listening to the show anymore. Hey, whatever. I just am telling you from my heart of what I've seen, history, dates, timeline. I am just appalled. Then you have older black women that are disrespectful to black women that are their same age. Oh, girl, you see that woman over there? She thinks she's a... Who cares? If she's doing whatever she's doing, mind your ass business and do what you're doing. But see, all of this confusion that's in the black community is leading us up to this genocide because we don't get along and we don't listen and we don't see the things that are right here before us that are getting ready to annihilate us. Right in your face. Because we lack the skills to sit there and educate our own children. When the schools were not efficient to do that, hey, get the books and teach your kids yourself. You remember they had the old TV show, Little House on the Prairie? Them people had to educate the kids basically by themselves because a lot of those kids didn't even have a school mom to go see way down and somewhere down the country road. So they educated themselves. And if they didn't, they did what they could to work. I mean, what is it? Can't afford it, don't do it. If you can't afford to have a child, don't do it. Don't make a girl that's under the age of 18, 19 years old pregnant unless you're all working and you got an income and a place to stay and you want that woman in your life. Stop breeding a whole bunch of other kids because you know what causes another big devastation in the community, and that's black, white, Latino. The fights that go on with all these multiple different levels of baby daddies and mamas and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, he giving her more money than me. Look at what he doing over there. How he going to do that? And I had the baby first. You know, that kind of stuff. And it doesn't even matter if black, white folks do this too, at high level. They get, the families come and meet, oh, hey, this is my stepson, Tommy. Tommy, this is Julie, and she's going to be your new stepsister because I divorced your father. And Tommy saying, well, Mom, you got divorced 3-4 times. You know, I don't like this. Then he goes out there and drinks, gets on alcohol, drugs, or whatever, dealing with the fact he's suffering because he got all these multiple people in the family and none of them really like each other. And, you know, and the thing is, you got to be responsible, period. If you don't want to have children with somebody and you just want to have whatever kind of relationship, then, hey, wear something, do something. Do something other than what you're doing. Don't place your disrespect and non-responsibility on somebody else that has little or knows nothing else. The boys out here, a lot of them don't even know what I'm talking about, and they're just doing it because their friends are doing it. So now you have a whole bunch of people with kids on the street. You got a lot of people depending on food stamps, depending on social government agency funding, and I told you, I saw this coming a long time ago. Pretty soon, all these programs are going to be gone. Now, state to state, they'll tell you they don't have no money. We're broke. We don't have any money budget, you know, for this, that, and the other. Republicans are big on that. They're not going to fund anything. They're not going to fund any of these programs and stuff. This stuff is going out the door. So what are you going to do for food if there's no food stamps? What are you going to do for livelihood if there's no employment because you've decided and refused to go back to school to get a GED or take a job, whatever it might be, you know, washing cars, windows, whatever you need to do to get enough money to get by. I remember at times I used to work 3 jobs at one time. And I was working jobs at Bubbles Corporation and stuff. I wanted extra money to work through two, three other jobs. I was taking care of my mom. When I decide if I need something, I'll work and do what I got to do to get it. You know, I've gone through times where I needed, you know, some assistance and stuff and been in ill health. But again, you know, I know that this stuff is temporary. So don't put your eggs in one basket. Don't stand on one rock too long. Move around because you don't know what might collapse. Have a backup contingency plan. But now, where are we right now? How many black people out there got gardens in their house? You know, if there's no food and they declare martial law, don't you think it would be good that you had a little garden in the back of your house? Because if there's something going on, you don't have to go out and get anything because you just go and pluck some stuff out of your backyard and run back in your house for safety. Or put like an organic garden down in the basement so you have some kind of food. But no, we're sitting there worried about all this other stuff. You know, oh, this one over here is doing this on TV. Oh, this is going on over here. Blah, blah, blah. The thing is, it's a control mechanism. Stop being controlled and figure it out. How many people out there know that if they decide to pull martial law, you can't go out of your house after 6 o'clock? That means you can't go sit and wander outside on a bench. You can't sit out there and talk to your friends. You ain't going to be going nowhere because they're going to have stormtrooping vehicles going up and down the street monitoring. And they have the law behind them to shoot to kill on sight. That's what's going on in Palestine. That's what's going on in the foreign countries. Even in India, people told me, oh, they declared martial law. We couldn't even get out to go and get a loaf of bread. My friend, she got shot. She came out. She got back home too late. Martial law. So the thing is, you're not thinking consciously because you think, oh, yeah, well, who's that mean? They ain't going to do nothing. I'm still going to go out here. So that means no clubbing, no going out, no going looking for food, no doing nothing because they're going to have people on the street armed to the teeth. Part of this King Arthur plan. It states in there that they got things that will basically obliterate you on the street, you know, something that would like be like a Star Trek, you know, like a phaser that would just turn you into powder. Well, I know that does exist because they were using it in this last Gulf War, and military guys were telling me that they were using this device and how the device they used blew back and took half of the soldier using it and killed them and turned them into powder on one side of the body. So the thing is, if they had it then, why don't you think they have it now? If they were using it there in populated areas, why wouldn't they not use it over here? You need to hear this King Arthur plan. You need to listen to it. Gurgitate on it. Think about it for a minute. And figure out what you would do if this was going to happen. How are you going to prepare your household? Now, think about the guys out there. Got, you know, I see them on TV. I got 26 kids. Kids all scattered around. Nobody's got no money. Everybody's depending on food stamps. Food stamps gone. You can't even have the money to get on the bus to travel. Don't have nothing. Just existing off of absolutely nothing. Then took your driver's license away. You ain't got that. You know, can't get that for several hundreds of years because they got like $5,000-$10,000 on you. So you can't bankrupt it. You can't do anything, so you can't drive. You can't get on the bus, and you have no money. And going out on the street is very dangerous because if you go out there and start panhandling, they'll lock your ass up if they don't shoot you. Now, the bottom line is, what are you going to do on that? And your kids, you know, they're not that important, because if they were, you wouldn't have 26 kids and not have no money. And the women can't support all those kids. How are they going to pay for babysitters? So, see, that's what I'm talking about, thinking in advance. You think of what happened in the past, the present, and how it's going to affect you in the future. That's how you have to always think. Sometimes you might slip up and make a mistake. There's nobody perfect. But at least if you have some common knowledge of what's going on and listen to people that might have some knowledge that might help you, instead of looking at them as a threat, oh, you know, she's trying to be better than me. No, it's not about that. It's talking about understanding, having respect for each other, and knowledge of what it is that is possibly going to occur. Another thing. Okay, now I already talked about the situation with abortions, the use of baby fetal tissue, and all this other kind of stuff. And I talked about how our black men and women don't get along. Now, these multiracial couples, you know, biracial, multiracial, whatever you want to call it, mixed dating, all this stuff. Cool. I did that. Problem line is, where's your spouse, significant other, going to be if there's war that breaks out? You're black, they're white. Division. Now, say that these people come up and say, okay, if we see you with this black woman, we're going to kill you on sight, incarcerate her, and we're going to let you watch me do whatever I'm going to do with her, and we're going to put you in some kind of internment camp. So how do you think these white people are going to stick with you? If they're going to stick. If they do stick with you, then you can have a battle plan. Because the bottom line, it's bad out here. It was bad back in the day. I remember when I used to go out with my ex and stuff, and I know he tried. It was difficult because he had to battle with his family, his people. I had to battle with my people because nobody liked people. Said, what are you doing with that guy? He's no good for you. And his people say, what are you doing with her? She's no good for you. So it was a split right there. And then when you go out on the street, then people, you know, they're not eyeballing you like they did about 5-10 years back, but they would eyeball you like, you know, what are you going out with her for? What's going on, you know? Oh, my God. You know, all this type of nonsense. When actually, if you look at their genetics, they probably got some black in them too, but they don't want to admit it because, see, they move into another round. So the bottom line is that this mixed couple thing is going to turn into a new level of warfare. Now, I was watching something, and people, you're going to get upset, but I don't care what it's saying. I remember that they were going to put the Star Wars Museum in Chicago. They were going to do it. They were going to do it on the south side of Chicago. Lucas came out here with his wife. His wife's black. Everything was all gun-ho, all this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. Whole deal died. Now, I'm not going to say, but I will say, I do think it did have to do with the wife being black. Because, again, they got everything else out here they put out here, and they didn't give a care. All of a sudden, black people, you know, people say, we don't want to fund that. Why the hell would you want to fund something that's going to bring money in the city and bring jobs to you? What stupid asses would say anything about George Lucas bringing in a Star Wars museum that would bring more money into Chicago to give you jobs? You just think about it. That's some dumb ass. Now let me move on to another dumb ass thing. The Sabo Museum, African American History, had a time when the governor of Chicago was supposed to come down and meet and talk to people. Black people got to get, well, you don't want to talk. Why don't you want to talk to him? He's the governor of the state of Illinois. That's disrespectful, number one. Number two, you need to talk to these people to let them know what you need because you're paying him a check. All these people are getting paid out of your salary, and you're scared to talk to them? I thought that was ignorance pot, all hell. And I will say it, and I will continue to say it, that is ignorance. This is the reason why we don't have anything. We don't want to dialogue with anybody. We think we don't need nobody. We don't have to dialogue. And just like these meetings that I don't go to anymore, I go to one and two and look at them, and I'm like, nah, I ain't coming over here anymore. All of us are Nubian kings with queens. We cannot have any leader. Wow. That to me is dysfunctional and unorganized. So I'm going to leave. Why did I say it's dysfunctional and unorganized? Because you have to have a leader put together an agenda, so the agenda is working for everybody, so everybody would know who to report to and how things are lined up. Do you think the Black Panthers didn't have any leadership? Do you think any of these organizations that are in this, with King, I could call it King James program too, but King Arthur program, do you think that Dr. King just rolled out there and said, I'm going to be Dr. King today, and I don't have any leaders in my pile, so we're all leaders, and we're all just going to do whatever the hell we want to do. It was strategy. Everybody had a spot. Everybody did something. They had organization, flow charts, understanding what to do. Today, we're all in them. We're all leaders. Because Black folks seemingly can't have nobody tell them what to do. Now, if I'm wrong about it, please share this information. Please. Because I've seen it countless numbers of times, and I resent it. The other thing I resent, and I think is stupid, is this thing about we're a village where everybody raises everybody's kids. That was during the time that they were doing this thing where free sex was cool and women wandering from one guy to the other, with guys wandering from one woman to the other. That was cool. I went off on that one, too, way back when I started seeing it. Because, see, you have to have responsibility here. And to me, to have all kinds of multiple partners and stuff, that's not my flag. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what you all do over there, but that's not my MO. If I'm with you, I'm looking for somebody to be with for a life partner. I'm not looking for somebody to be with for a minute while they're lust of fluting around with whoever else and bring back diseases. I'm not doing none of that. Nah. It's not that important to me. It might be, but I'm not going to do that. Because to me, that is not my moral character. See, instead of being moral characters of respect, if you're going to have a relationship, you got to respect the person you're with. If you're going to be with that person, there's going to be all kinds of crazy people out here. It's like 100 million people. You might find 100 of those 100 million people that you like more than what you have. Or it might be somebody that you kind of like one way and not the other or whatever, and you just want to get rid of it. But then you have to respect the fact you have a union with this one person, so why not work on that union to make it work? Instead of diving in to things that are not important. So the thing is, you dive in, and then what happens? The other person gets mad, and then you with this other person, and you find out, oh, wow, this person has nothing like this other person. Oh, my God, I should have stayed with her. And you can't go back. And if you do go back, the other one might get mad and stab you to death. So the thing is, why put all that drama? If I see drama, I'm gone. I'm not going to get into fight battles with other women over men. I ain't going to do none of that stuff. You're on your own. Period. Not going to do it. Nope. Not that important. See, you have to understand, these are the reasons why this King Arthur plan is coming about. Because the people at the top are looking at you. They're looking at me. They're looking at everything at the lower level. And to them, they feel they're God, and they're looking down, and they're glancing down, and like, what is this? Ooh. Peasants. Ooh. Your eyesore, not only black, white too, eyesore. Come in, see, look around, go back, have this big tax, come back and figure out what they're going to do. And the plot is not really good for us. It isn't. Then let's move to the other level too. Let me go to the legal issue. We have no one to enforce the law for us. We have nobody that we can go to. I don't care what they say. Oh, there's a Justice Department. Really? Who's that for? Even though we pay for it. I mean, if you take the product used to purchase power and everything that goes on that makes money for these corporations, most of the money is made out of the black community. And that includes the Chinese products that come in, Japanese products that come in, products from India, all over the country. Largest consumer of all those products are African Americans. And next under that is probably Latino. We go to Walmart. What's in there? How many people are in there buying stuff at Walmart? What kind of products do they sell? Point on point. You're making money for all of them. And they don't respect you, but they're taking your money because you're an indentured servitor. You have never moved out of slavery. You're just somebody that doesn't work, and they give you trinkets back, and you give all of it back to them at the end because you're buying the products and services. You don't have anything to offer. I look around and I complained about the fact that black people don't have an airport. I went to Robbins, Illinois, myself personally about maybe 15 years ago, and I talked to the mayor of Robbins, and I tried to open up a airport there. They had vacant land. They used to have an airport there. It's weeded over. Opposition, black mayor, black female mayor. Didn't care. Whatever she set aside she had coming in, that was fine, even though Robbins was in this, you know, this enfranchised community. If they put a little airstrip in there, it could make a lot of money. But see, the thing is, I mentioned it here, then somebody else will go up there and then pop it up because it's just like I mentioned the program for kids going to school getting paid. Mentioned that about 20 years ago back. Some dude went and got that, put it in there, and bam, what's going on? But me, personally, getting and getting out of it, no. That's what they do. Black people steal your ideas, and they go and run over it, and somebody give them a couple dollars, and, you know, they're all happy and smiling from ear to ear, and then that money runs out, and you don't see them no more, and that's it. That's because there's no organization. Nobody wants to listen to anybody. Everybody does their own thing. And the thing is that it's not bad doing your own thing, but the thing is if you don't organize and do things properly, you get nothing. So now you got this situation of military. The military is compiled of people that are mainly, I was seeing this during the time that Bush was causing these wars to go about for oil reserves and whatever else they were, you know, plumbing over there in different countries. But anyway, and it was admitted, by the way, that that war was not to do anything because they found out that Hussein was not involved with Bin Laden. They knew that he wasn't involved with Bin Laden, but, you know, what does that mean? So anyway, you go over there, invade the country, and send all these people, a lot of them African-Americans, people that were white people that went to school, Latinos that went to school that, you know, didn't have a mark to go elsewhere and forced them into ROTC. I was complaining about that, too, at the schools. You know, they were pushing ROTC. Get these kids in the military so they can transfer them in the military so they can put them in the war. And then when they go in the war, they got insurance on them, so if they die, get injured, whatever, they get paid. This money gets paid there, you know. The thing is that that's the soldier. No. I said they get paid. So the thing is that all the stuff that's going on, you know, everybody's getting money and you ain't getting nothing, you're following the rule and doing what they tell you to do, and then you're mind control with this music and stuff. And so while you're all in this thing, and then I remember when George Bush got on TV and just said, keep going, do business as usual. So we were mind controlled not to look at 9/11, not to look at Ruby Ridge, not to look at Oklahoma City, not to look at anything. Just move ahead and don't look at anything like Cal. And now we're here right now. Not only do they have the King Arthur plan, they're getting ready to collapse the economy. So they know people are going to be mad about that. So what do you do? Put the King Arthur plan on top of it, because at that time you have Elder Skelter, blacks and whites fighting together, put the military in so that you have a situation of martial law to cover up the fact that the money that they have robbed out of the banking industry is going to be coming to a head, and people are going to realize that they're getting ready to change the currency. So you keep all this stuff floating around and stuff so you can't see what you're doing behind closed doors. That's the game. And you're pawn to it. This is a big Ponzi scheme. And you're a victim. The elderly, they're a victim too. Elderly people in nursing homes and people in senior citizen homes and people out there, they're all victims because you know why? They don't have anything, and they're not giving anything because you know why? They got plans for them too, because this is the same agenda they had in World War II during Nazi Germany. The one thing that Dr. Hagen had, very much in his report, which I'm going to let you have listened to part of, which I think is very important, he stated in there, the same thing I've been mentioning. It was just amazing he had said that. He's seeing them too. They got manufacturing buildings all over the place with absolutely nothing in. They ain't hiring nobody. It's this big, huge office complexes and things that they're building. This big, huge buildings with no windows to them all over the place. And you're saying, what the hell are they putting that up for? We don't manufacture anything. We're not producing anything really out of this country. So what are they putting all these places up for? And that may create no more jobs. He stated it's going to be FEMA camps. They have an agreement. Walmart's being shut down. Sam Club's being shut down. Only thing left open, from what I was told, pharmacy. Now, wouldn't that be drugs that you would give whenever you were out in maybe the open area of the warehouse that they have? Empty vacant buildings all over the place. Targeted storms. Remember Katrina? When Katrina happened, I did a seismograph reading. I also checked out where HAARP was and what was the seismograph reading for HAARP was at the same time. And all of them were skyrocketed high because they were doing something atmospherically. First, it caused the storm and caused the, you know, tsunami, like winds and stuff and rain to come into that area. And they did a target thing because they wanted to see what would happen. And that was a kill zone. Kill zone. Blacks migrated out of there. They didn't have any identity. They didn't have nothing. They had no paperwork. They had no information, deed of land, everything was wiped out. And you know what? They still haven't settled that. And the money came in, and I don't know if they dispersed it, but whatever they dispersed, a lot of those people didn't get the money, and a lot of them might be still in these encampments they had them in. So the thing is, the agenda's in the mix. Then the president, about maybe 3 weeks ago, was fighting. In fact, it was in the Supreme Court. I don't know what they ruled on it. But he was fighting to pass a law giving the president ultimate rights beyond Congress and Senate. And people say, well, this is bad. It is bad. Because the balance of the White House has to be Congress and Senate and president so that the veto power, so the people will have a chance of a choice. Not one person controlling everything like Caesar. But you're not listening to that because you're listening to all this other garbage that's going on. You're missing the crest of what's getting ready to happen that's already in footprint. Look what happened down there in Wisconsin. Martial law. Incident. Somebody gets shot. You know, we don't know what happened on that. We're relying on what the media is telling us. And some of it is, you know, some of it is some of it, some of it is not. You don't know what they're telling you is true or not. I want you to hear this clip. I'm going to see if I can run it during the show, but you need to hear this. And then you'll understand what I'm talking about. Because, see, you know, I don't even want to talk, you know, about things about alien grays and all this stuff. None of that matters at this point.
what we need to do is we need to develop some type of legal base to deal with this if possible. It might be too late, like a lot of people saying, but what I'm saying is if we put together some type of thing that strong arms a situation that this government recognizes African Americans, we also need to be a part of the International Court of Justice. Because if they do war crimes, at least we have somewhere to go. At this point, we have nowhere to go because there's no jurisdiction at all. They can do whatever the hell they want here. Let me see if I can get this so you can hear it. I'm working on it. Hold on.
Security Council developed a government program called the King Alfred Plan. This program actually details the arrest, detention, encampment, and extermination of the black and Hispanic or Latino population of this country. No other race of people have had a program written for them but the black. And of course, in 1984, it was amended to include the Hispanic population. President Reagan, along with the ex-director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Louis Gefreda, proposed this amendment in 1984, on April 6th of 1984, and hence you have the additional code name, Rex 84. It's important that you understand, brothers and sisters, why this program has been put in place. You need to understand the drastic measures that have been strategically designed for our destruction. Everybody say, policy, plan, and study. Now, you may want to write this down so you can go verify. For short, it's